fix in your thinking the word family. We've just been singing about the family, the Christian family, about the father, the mother, the children, families. There are few words that are used more in our day and time than the word family. You listen to the political discussions and the family is discussed. You go to worship, Bible class, certainly not unusual to hear something said about the family or a song selected as the one that we just sang. And I think even in other areas in the community and in our own homes, we talk about the idea of family. Most of us tonight are members of different types of families. Each one of us who is here is a member of some kind of a family that we think of as the home. You may live by yourself and have a single unit family. Some of us have a family now that's basically husband and wife in the immediate situation, although broadened as we bring into consideration children and grandchildren and others. And most of us that are here tonight are a part of a church family. In fact, most of us are a part of this particular church family. And many of you that are in the audience tonight are a part of the Fried Hardeman family. And I think I'm not exaggerating when I use the word in that way. I believe that Fried Hardeman is and ought to be a type of family situation. We talk a lot about the family. It's very important. I want you to think with me tonight about the subject that I've been announcing this week, if I could hand pick my family. What would it be like? And I guess I'm thinking more in terms of the first definition of the family here, the home setting. Although the ideas apply in these other extended families that we have. If I could hand pick my family. I decided to preach this lesson the other day after reading an article in a bulletin that was dated October the 5th of last year, describing something that had happened evidently in the month of September. It is a report that's on a youth page, reported by Scott Evans, who is the youth minister, or at least works with the young people in this particular case. He starts out by saying, I have taught the high school class for several years, and last Sunday, I was amazed at the students as I observed Andy Hicks, Andy is a senior in high school, teach a lesson on family values and the importance of a family. There's a reason why this particular article caught my attention. It's in the bulletin from Grundy Street in Tullahoma, where I labored for 13 and a half years before moving here 5 years ago. Scott Evans was working with the young people to some extent when I was there, and when I left, Andy Hicks, who taught the class, is a young man that I baptized. In fact, most of the high school members, or the members of that high school class, were young people who had been born while I was in the work there. Many of them I'd had the privilege to baptize. I knew most of them, know most of them in a personal way. Because of that, it especially caught my attention. But here's what that high school senior did in the class. He handed to each member of the class a sheet of white paper, 8.5 by 11. And said, I want you to do something with this piece of paper that describes how you think your family really is. Now, young people, if that had happened in the class here, what would you do? He said, I want you to take that sheet of paper and I want you to do something with it that will be an illustration of how you view your own family. There were basically four different reactions. Several in the class drew a red heart, or at least some kind of a heart, on that piece of paper. And as they discussed it later, they suggested that the reason for drawing that heart is that it represents love. And evidently, each one who drew that heart looked at his family as a place, as a setting of love. One person in the class took the piece of paper and wadded it just as tightly into a ball as he could. And as I began to read that, I could imagine several things, but I missed it. He said, "This represents the closeness that we have in our family." Evidently, he'd wadded it just as close into as small a ball as he could, and he said, "That represents the closeness." Another one made an airplane. And he said, "I'd like to get away from my family. I'd like transportation to get away. And I want to see how far that'll go, but I'd better not." And the fourth one drew a big question mark and said, "I don't really know how to describe my family. There are some good things about it. There are some things that need to be improved. And I really don't know how to use this sheet of paper to describe my family except to put a question mark on it," which might be at least a part of the reaction of all of us if we were in the same set of circumstances. Those were the four basic reactions to what this young man asked his classmates to do in this class in Bible study. A heart representing love, wadding the paper together to represent closeness, some making an airplane with the idea that I'd like to fly away and get away from the set of circumstances where I live, and some with a big question mark. The young man then said, "Let me hand you out another sheet of paper, this time with nothing on it. And this time, instead of describing what your family situation is, I'd like for you to do something with this sheet of paper that describes what you would like for it to be. If you could handpick your family, if you could just make it what you would want it to be and have it to be what you want it to be all the time, what kind of family would you like to have?" And he describes in this article 10 reactions to that. I don't know how many were in the class. It's possible that some of them did the same thing. One drew a clock for more time together. More time together. I read somewhere where it suggested that the average father spends just a very, very few minutes in an entire week in a one-on-one with nothing else involved, a one-on-one relationship with a son or a daughter. A clock, more time together. One wadded a sheet of paper together for more closeness, as indicated in the previous suggestion. One made a paper doll chain for more togetherness. A paper doll chain. Many of you girls and many of you older girls have made paper doll chains. Somebody thought of that as a way of suggesting togetherness. You remember how you cut those out and when you unfolded them, they were all holding hands or they were all tied together. One made a paper game to signify working together. Some kind of a paper game, maybe cut it into pieces of puzzle or so that the puzzle could be put back together and they could fit together. But the idea was that the family needs to work together more. One cut theirs out in a shape of an ear for more listening. If I had still been there preaching and our children had been teenagers and in the class, I would have thought maybe that was one of them that did that, because that's not one of my strong points. A lot of us have trouble with listening. Sometimes we don't quit talking enough to listen. Sometimes when I'm talking with you, while you're talking, I'm trying to think about what I'm going to say if you ever shut up. And I almost expect an amen on this. Sometimes I don't even wait till you shut up. But an ear with the idea of listening. One made an envelope signifying more communications in the family. That's really the key to success, not unlike the previous one. But he thought of an envelope suggesting writing or some kind of communication, that is the key. One folded a sheet of paper to say, we must back up each other. Took the sheet of paper and folded it in half with the idea of doubling the thickness of it, or backing up each other, being there in the family and that kind of support. One made a church building, drew a church building suggesting that the family needs to be centered around Christ. And the life of each one should be built around Christ. One made holes in the paper to suggest a holy life. Holes in the paper to suggest a holy life on the part of each one. And this one just had to be included any time in the fall. One drew a football, suggesting that their families must work together as a team. I was impressed when I read this little article. And as I look at these 10 things that are suggested, there are two or three ideas that just sort of jump off the page at you. One of them is togetherness. Togetherness. The clock, time together, the ear, listening, the team, idea. Togetherness in the family. One of them is communication, our communications amongst family members, meaning both talking and listening, not harboring bad feelings and being historical when there's an argument, bringing out everything that's happened in history in the past 20 years, but being open in communication and expressing what we want and what we desire, so that our family members know what pleases us as well as what displeases us. And then there is the idea of support that just sort of jumps out of these 10 ideas. Backing up each other, this togetherness, going to church together. In fact, each one of them, in a sense, suggests that idea of some support and a foundation in that family that will stand no matter what happens. Now, what I have described to you took place in a teenage class taught by a teenager. But I think they were hitting the nail on the head. You go to Genesis 2, man and woman are made, woman made to complete the situation. They're given to one another as help, meet to one another, compliments to one another, making a unit, the two of them together. When reference is made in the New Testament to this by our Lord in passages like Matthew 19, he refers back to it and says, this is the way it was from the beginning. The man and the woman are to be joined together. They're to be one. They're not to be separated until God separates them. That's another way of saying the same thing that was said by that person who wadded that ball together, that closeness. And you look at the description in 1 Corinthians 7 of how there is the dedication to each other to supply the needs of one another. The mutual love and service that's there in Ephesians chapters 5 and 6. Husband, love your wives. Wives, love and respect your husband. Parents, rear your children in the right way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord and honor them. You read those verses, marriage is honorable, Hebrews 13 verse 4. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, Proverbs 18:22. The idea of one being satisfied and even ravished in joy with the love of his mate, the last several verses of Proverbs 5. And I think you will agree with me that this class of young people were right on target with what the Bible says. They had a little bit of an unusual way of expressing it, but they were expressing that unity and oneness, togetherness, communication, mutual support that we find in the family that cannot be found anywhere else. There's a sense in which we find it in the church family, the school family, the community family, and especially in our own families. If you were handed a sheet of paper like that tonight and you were to describe some way using that sheet of paper the kind of family that you would want, what would you do? Don't you think in some way, if we're really honest with ourselves, we would emphasize this idea of togetherness and love and mutual support? If I could handpick my family, that's the kind of family that I would want. And I believe that's the kind of family that we can have at church, at school, and at home. But notice one thing especially that was pointed out by these young folks. Center your family life around Christ. Or maybe better said, let Christ be the center of your family life. And the only way that that's possible is for us to be Christians. That's just another reason, in addition to the salvation of your soul, why, if you've not been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, you need to be. And why, if there's something in your life that's amiss, that you need to take care of it tonight, not just for the salvation of your soul, but for the sake of your family. If you could hand-pick your family, you may not be able to hand-pick it, but you can do something about it by living for Christ. And if you're not doing that, come to Him as together we stand and sing.
And me, let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fountain.